us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, my Lord, my Rock, and my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. If only we had meat to eat. If only we had meat to eat. Remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the lions, and the onions and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at. These are the words that we hear in our first reading today. This is where we find the Israelites today in our Hebrew scripture. We encounter them in the wilderness, literal wilderness. They have fled slavery in Egypt, tasted freedom, but now the daunting challenges of an uncertain future are facing. And this is where we hear the lament. This is where we have the opportunity to hear the lament that is shared with us. If only we had meat to eat. Their words reveal a profound human tendency, where in times of struggle and uncertainty, we sometimes often romanticize our past, even if that past was marked with oppression. The Israelites' journey to freedom, it turns out, is not an easy one. The uncertainty of their future in the wilderness makes them yearn for the certainties of their past, even if those certainties come with a heavy price of enslavement. As I reflect on this passage, I'm reminded of the many immigrants in our community today, particularly as we observe Latino Hispanic Heritage Month from September 15 to October 15. Like the Israelites, many have left their situations of great hardship, hoping for a better life. Yet their journey is terribly hard, and the promised land often proves to be much less welcoming than they had hoped. In the summer of 2019, my family and I witnessed this reality firsthand when we volunteered at a respite center in McAllen, Texas, working with immigrant families who had just been released from detention centers. The stories we heard that summer have forever stayed etched into my heart. Families who, like the Israelites, had left everything familiar in search of safety and a better future. I remember one Salvadorian woman. She was a mother who wept as she re-encountered her journey. She spoke of the family she left behind, of the fellow travelers that didn't survive the treacherous path. She cried out in anger and in pain and fear for her children's future. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, she found herself in a strange land, facing new challenges, sometimes wondering if the journey had been worth it. Her story and the stories of countless others echo the complexity of the immigrant experience. They left behind not just hardship, but also the comfort of the familiar. You see, the metaphorical fish, cucumbers, and garlic of their homelands. Now, like the Israelites facing endless manna, they confront new and unexpected challenges in a land that often views them with suspicions or hostility. We see this from Moses too. He feels overwhelmed by the complaints and needs of the people. He cries out to God, "Am I not able to carry all this people alone? For they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you're going to treat me, put me to death at once and do not let me see my misery." Vulnerableness to be able to say that to God. I wonder if you've ever felt like Moses, overwhelmed by the constant needs all around us, unsure if you have the strength to make a simple difference. I know I have. As standing in that respite center, hearing story after story of suffering and resilience, I felt the weight of a broken system, of countless lives just hanging in the balance. Like Moses, I wondered how one person, how can I, even just one community, how can we possibly address such an overwhelming need? The depth of Moses' despair in this passage is one that I'm sure we can relate to. He feels not just overwhelmed, but betrayed by his own people and even by God. "Why have you treated your servants so badly?" he cries out to the Lord. There's a rawness in his voice, a vulnerability that speaks to the very core of human experience in the face of challenges. It's an honor to be able to read in on this great prophet's most vulnerable and dark time. Moses questions his calling, feeling burdened with a responsibility he never asked for. His darkest moment. These feelings of inadequacy, of being overwhelmed by the magnitude of challenges before us, are not unique to Moses. They resonate with many of us here today in various aspects of our lives. Parents, I'm sure, like me, we feel the overwhelmed responsibility of raising children in an increasingly complex world. We struggle, not just parents, but everyone, we struggle with burnout, feeling crushed by ever-growing workloads and the pressure to constantly perform. Students feel paralyzed by academic pressures and uncertain futures. Those of you who are caring for elderly or sick family members carry the physical and emotional exhaustion from it. In our personal lives, we might feel overwhelmed by financial stressors, relationship difficulties, or even health concerns. And as we continue to work for social justice and a more compassionate world, my siblings, it is easy to feel like our work is so small and meaningless compared to the systemic problems that many face. Homelessness, systemic oppression, racism, transphobia, homophobia, sexism, xenophobia, and ableism. It's all far too much. It's all too heavy. It's also broken, and we are all hurting. You see, we too can feel crushed by the weight of it all, just like Moses, by the feelings that our efforts are far too small in the face of problems that seem to be far too big. Yet, like Moses, we are reminded that we are not meant to bear these burdens alone. And I'm going to repeat that again, because in the United States, we tend to do this alone. So, like Moses, we are reminded that we are not meant to bear all these things alone. God's response to Moses, if you read along, is not to remove the challenge, to provide community and support to face it. This divine wisdom applies to all areas of our lives, reminding us of the importance of community, of mutual support, and the understanding that no one is expected to solve every problem single-handedly. For that, we give thanks. As we transition from this wilderness journey of the Israelites to Jesus' teaching, we find this thread that connects these ancient worlds to a present moment. Both stories speak to our deepest human needs, the need for community, a sense of belonging in the face of overwhelming challenges. So in Numbers, we witness Moses crying out of desperation. And we were able to notice that he, too, was able to express when things got too hard. There's where community comes in. For community is not just a need for ourselves, a nice addition to our lives, it's an essential for survival. It's with this understanding that we turn to our gospel reading from Mark. Here, Jesus is expanding our understanding of community and calling us to a wider circle of compassion. John comes to Jesus, concerned about an outsider who is casting out demons in Jesus' name. Now, how dare you? He says, "Teacher, we tried to stop him." And I don't know if this is helpful for you guys, but I see this as like a little tantrum. He goes, "Teacher, we tried to stop him because he was not following us." Then Jesus responds, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will soon afterwards speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us." In this moment, Jesus is challenging the disciples and us to expand our circle. He is saying that God's work in this world is bigger than our limited understanding of it. He's calling us to recognize allies in unexpected places, to be open to the possibility that God is at work even beyond the boundaries we continuously draw. This message takes on a profound significance when we consider the experiences of our immigrant siblings in our communities. For how often does our society, like John, try to stop those who are different from us? Those who don't fit to our idea of who belongs? How often do we see as a society that we put stumbling blocks in the path of those seeking safety? Every policy that separates families, every act of discrimination, every moment of indifference to suffering, these are the stumbling blocks that Jesus speaks of. These are the stumbling blocks that have the severe consequences, not just for our own lives, but for our entire communities. John, just like any other human, is trying to make sense of the society. He's trying to define the boundaries of belonging, to determine who's in and who's out. We've been doing this since we were kids. Jesus' teaching, however, directly addresses the exhaustion and fear we see in the reading of Numbers. It's as if Jesus is saying to John and to all those present, "Hey, this community is larger than you think. The resources for facing your challenges are more abundant than you realize. You are not alone." Jesus goes on to use strong language about the dangers of putting stumbling blocks before others, and is not to say to not read those sections, but to understand the importance of it and to not take it as literal. More of it, I see it as an action call to recognize that our actions of exclusion, our narrowing of circles, harm not only those we exclude, but our entire community. When we shut others out, we diminish our own capacity to face life's challenges. Instead, Jesus calls us to have salt in yourselves and to be at peace with one another. This echoes God's response for Moses to share the burden with others. Being salt means being preserving, flavoring a valuable presence in our world. It means recognizing the value of every single person, including those who we might disagree with, might seem different from, or are usually found outside our own circles. When we embrace this expansive view of community, we begin to address the very issues that overwhelmed Moses and the Israelites. The exhaustion of carrying burdens alone is alleviated when we recognize that there are more hands to help than we initially thought. Think about when we have the sandwich making. All of a sudden, it's done much faster when everybody chips in. The fear of scarcity that led the Israelites to long for Egypt is countered by the abundance that comes from our diverse resources and experiences. This message takes on a profound significance when we consider are immigrants, the ones that are always outside of our circles. Think of our Haitian immigrants leaving the violence and destruction of their home countries just to arrive here and be met with the same violence and uncertainty due to sinful lies that are causing danger and harm. Many of our Haitian immigrants arrive in our communities feeling the same exhaustion, uncertainty, and fear that the Israelites have felt in the wilderness. They too might long for a familiarity of what they left behind, even as they hope for a better future in this country where their kids are scared to go to school, when loved ones would prefer to go back than to stay in a country that accuses them of eating pets and other crimes. In their journey, we see reflected the Israelites' struggle, Moses' exhaustion, and the urgent need for us to widen our circles of compassion and support. By creating welcoming communities, by drawing our circles wide, as Jesus teaches, we not only offer support to those who are struggling, but in return also enrich our own lives. We create spaces where the burdens are shared. Think of the times that as a community, as Trinity Episcopal Midtown, we have all carried one another's burdens, visitations to the hospitals, laying of the hand of the sick, taking kids to school. We all have shared, in one way or another, our own burdens. As we face our own moments of overwhelm, when, like Moses, we feel like we cannot carry on alone, let us remember Jesus' call to widen our circles, my siblings. Let us look for allies in unexpected places, because you will find them. Welcome the stranger, and recognize that in creating belonging for others, we strengthen our own sense of purpose and community. In doing so, may we find a communal celebration of the strength we find in one another. This is how we transform our wilderness into our places of growth, our exhaustion into shared strength, and our fear into a courage that comes from true belonging. Edwin Markham wrote a poem which says, "He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in." This poem captures the essence of Jesus' teaching and the challenge before us today. We're called to be circle drawers, but not in the way that the disciples initially were, seeking to exclude. Instead, we are called to draw never-ending, ever-widening circles of inclusion, circles that embrace the stranger and the outcast. My siblings, may we have the courage to draw these circles that include rather than exclude. May we seek Christ in all persons, in the immigrant, in the outcast, and in those different from ourselves. But may we also be gentle when we feel like it's far too much for us to carry by ourselves. And may we always remember that in widening our circles, we serve a Christ who showed us how to do it first. Because my siblings, life is short. We don't have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk alongside with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind.